KFSR presents the Fresno State Sports Report, your inside connection to everything sports at Fresno State, featuring Eddie Hughes and Fresno State Director of Athletics, Jim Bartko, 90.7 KFSR.
Good morning and welcome. It's a great day to be a Bulldog. I'm Eddie Hughes. Our co-host, Fresno State Athletics Director Jim Bartko, couldn't be with us this week, but we should have him back next week with plenty to talk about. Joining us today to wrap up college basketball season in the middle of March Madness is Director of New Media, Stephen Tremblay. Stephen, if we have you on the show a few more times here, I think we might just have to throw your name on it.
That's fine with me.
But let's talk about the Bulldogs, the men's basketball team who you've obviously traveled with all year long for several years now. Their season came to an end in the first round of the NIT at TCU on Wednesday. The Bulldogs got off to a slow start, but they fought back. They took a second half lead before falling short in the end. I know this team really wanted to survive in advance, as they say, around this time. But, you know, Coach Rodney Terry, he said right after that game that this is a program now that's created that culture where they don't want to just get to the postseason. They want to get there, and they want to win games in advance. Talk about that and that feeling around the program at this point and what they've built.
Well, our Fresno State men's basketball team has been in the postseason 3 of the last 4 years. And if you just look at the last 2 years, Fresno State is one of 8 teams on the West Coast, states of Washington, Oregon, and California, to have played in either the NCAA or NIT in those last 2 years. So it's an elite group that Fresno State is really establishing that culture and expecting to go to the postseason and expecting and being built to advance in the postseason. And when you look at what Fresno State was able to accomplish this year with a strong non-conference schedule, getting eight wins over top 100 RPI teams and putting themselves in a position where even in falling short in the Mountain West Championships, where the Bulldogs reached the Mountain West semifinals for the second straight year, the Bulldogs had a great opportunity to play in the NIT and to do so as a number 5 seed, where a lot of us thought that Fresno State might have been on the bubble. Fresno State was solidly in the NIT, and it's a prestigious tournament that, yes, it's not the NCAA, but it's really hard to get in to the NIT, and it's really hard to go win in advance, especially when you go and have to play on the road. But, I mean, you saw Fresno State fight through adversity throughout the year at different points, some great moments, some moments where Fresno State really used those to draw on later in the year, winning their last 5 regular season games, winning 6 straight going into that Mountain West semifinal before falling short in those last 2 games. But there's a lot of great momentum, and when you look at what Fresno State has coming back for next year and returning 4 starters and returning 2 likely and potential all-conference candidates for the preseason 2017-18 Mountain West men's basketball preseason teams. There's only 5 players that make that preseason all-conference team, and I think that Deshaun Taylor and Jerron Hopkins both have strong cases, where Deshaun was just lights out those last 15-16 games of the season, where averaged over 20 points a game and scored at least double digits in every single one of those games, at least 15 when he was a starter. And then Jerron Hopkins, who defensively was an all-defensive team member, changed the dynamic on defense, disrupting lanes, and it really brought that emphatic authority to transition play for Fresno State. And then you've got the emergence of Bryson Williams, who's a post player that was just a freshman. He's a Fresno native, loves being part of this community, loves playing for Fresno State. And then you've got a lights-out sharpshooter in Jamel Taylor, and there's so many more players that we can talk about as well when you're looking ahead to next season. But what that culture has been built that Fresno State expects to be back in the postseason next year and will be in a position to advance when they get there.
Yeah, and I think when you look at this matchup with TCU, just closing out the season, it's a TCU team that had just beaten number 1 Kansas in their Big 12 conference tournament. So, I mean, this is a capable team that the Bulldogs were pretty much neck and neck with the whole way. And I think that's also what fans are looking at, is that's a little disappointing to them maybe, is that the Bulldogs seemed like they had just as good, if not better, talent than TCU. But like you said, it's tough to go, especially short notice, on the road in an environment like that and come away with the win. But the Bulldogs definitely fought their best.
defensively, Fresno State, I mean, in holding TCU to 66 points, defensively, the Bulldogs were really just, I mean, overall just fine. I mean, there's little things that you always, when you lose a game, that you can point to of that, well, that's why we lost the game. We didn't finish at the basket, turn the ball over too much, just didn't make enough shots, didn't score enough on the offensive end of the floor, and really trying to get adjusted to some of the new experimental rules and some other elements of playing an NIT game where it's you're playing on a home court, you're playing with referees that you're not as familiar with, you and they're not as familiar with our team. So understanding how we play and not being in a true neutral environment where you'd see in the NCAA tournament where games are called a little bit differently, as I think you saw in the opening rounds of the NCAA tournament. So not taking anything away from, yes, Fresno State wanted to advance in the NIT, and going to the first round is something that Fresno State's proud of, but it's also something where I think everybody around the program feels that we had all the tools, and we still have all the tools to be a program that is built to reach postseason, to compete for conference championships, as well as advance in postseason, whether that's the NCAA or NIT or whatever postseason tournament that Fresno State plays in after the regular season.
Yeah, and I think it's an exciting time for the Red Wave, for Bulldogs fans, because you're looking at a program that has been successful, as you said, postseason 3 out of the last 4 years. The last 2 years, especially with the NCAA tournament and the NIT this year, and you're returning 4 starters from a program, and it goes to show a little bit too just how much depth this team had, that you can lose players like Paul Watson, Karachi Edo, and Colin Russo and still say you're returning 4 really good key players, decorated players, and 2 all Mountain West guys in Jerron Hopkins and Deshaun Taylor. But, you know, we talked a little bit off air too recently. It's unfortunate the Bulldogs didn't get a home game in the NIT, because I think that would have been a huge help to them. You and I had talked during the Mountain West tournament. We were looking at some of those numbers with, you know, if you look at this year, the Bulldogs had the best home record in the Mountain West, tied with Nevada. If you look at the last 2 years, the Bulldogs had the best home record in the Mountain West. You look at the last 3 years, same story. Talk about why the Save Mart Center is such a big advantage for Fresno State.
I think Fresno State takes great pride in when we have the opportunity to play in front of our fans. And there's a lot of teams that, especially over these last 2-3 years, that don't enjoy playing at the Save Mart Center maybe as much as they did at different points. But, I mean, Fresno State 29-4 overall at home since the start of the 2015-16 season, and has won 12 of the last 13. I mean, you just look up and down the roster of why. I mean, Fresno State takes pride in playing in front of and playing in its home, and taking that mentality that Fresno State is protecting the yard. I mean, we're protecting our house, and we really want to put on a show for the Red Wave that gives us so much support throughout the entire season.
And I know we're going to be picking up here any moment with hyping up next year, trying to get more and more fans out there to the Save Mart Center, buying season tickets, because that's what can really turn this program up a notch and help them reach even that next level, that next tier. But talk about next year. What do fans have to look forward to? Any hints you can give us on who's coming into the Save Mart Center to play next year?
Well, I mean, one other thing before getting into the hints, but I mean, you look at what Fresno State and attendance-wise over these last 2 years, it's the first time ever in the Save Mart Center history that in back-to-back years there's been an increase in the average attendance. So you're seeing that fan support starting to move in that direction. I mean, that's the first time. I mean, this is the 14 years of being in the Save Mart Center. It's the first time ever in the program history since back in the early 2000s that you've had back-to-back years or multiple years where the average attendance has continued to climb over the course of a couple of seasons. So I think that is huge. Yes, Oregon is coming in to the Save Mart Center. That date's still to be determined. It's looking like either late November or potentially in December. We're still looking to finalize that exact date, but that contract is signed, just working on finalizing the date for when Fresno State will host Oregon after going up and playing the Ducks the last couple of years. So that's something that I think all Fresno State fans should be really excited about, playing a team that is a top 3 seed in the NCAA tournament, a team that perennially is in the top 25, a top 10 program arguably in the country, and the chance to play them on our home court. And as we look to protect the yard, I think that is a huge opportunity and is a big reason why looking at season tickets is something that, if you're in a position to do so, that we'd love to have you out at the Save Mart Center for every single home game. But season tickets, the price only starts at $149, and that's anywhere from still working out the exact number of games, but at least 15 games, possibly 16 or 17. To count the exhibition, it could climb up into 18. So still trying to finalize some of those gates. But Cal State Bakersfield, who won the regular season in the WAC, had an opportunity to advance to the NCAA tournament, came up one game short, and then they go up and on the road and beat a good California team on the road and to advance into the second round of the NIT. So Cal State Bakersfield will also be coming back to Fresno State and looking for to avenge last year's loss on the road at Bakersfield. And then the Pacific Tigers also coming back to Fresno State and still looking to try to finalize that home opener and those first couple games. But yes, Fresno State will also be playing in the 2017 Cancun Challenge, which will feature two home games as part of that not-exempt tournament. And then when Fresno State goes down to Cancun the week of Thanksgiving, Bulldogs will play either at Evansville, George Mason, or Louisiana Tech. Both all RPI teams that are in that top 100 or top 200, depending on how they play throughout the season. So that's a potential for some good RPI games in that Cancun Challenge. And there's information that if you do come to our awards banquet, and there are some tickets still available, that you can get more information on that Cancun Challenge. You can also go to GoBulldogs.com. But in briefly talking about that awards banquet coming up on March 27th, you can get your reservations in by March 22nd. Just call Donna Caldwell at 559-259-1767. That's 559-259-1767, or email her at dcaldwell@ag1.net. That's by March 22nd. But we'll honor the 2016-17 Fresno State men's basketball team at that awards banquet.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, Oregon's a huge marquee opponent coming in next year. I think that's going to have a lot of people excited. I remember back in the early to mid-2000s, Oregon came to town when they were led by Aaron Brooks, and the Bulldogs had big Jack Marlowe in there inside trying to stop his penetration dunks. And I remember that crowd had to be 13, 14,000 in the Save Mart Center. So if the Bulldogs can regenerate that type of atmosphere, I think that can go a long way in pulling off a big marquee win at home against a team that this year on the road, the Bulldogs gave everything they wanted.
Last couple times that we've been up to Eugene, there have been some really good games. And, it was a double-digit loss this year, but it was a really close game late. And I think that with what Fresno State has coming back, I think it could be another competitive game. And it's one that we really want to see the Save Mart Center as full as possible, if not completely sold out for in late November and or just early December. So be on the lookout for that exact date. But, yes, the Oregon Ducks will be coming down to play the Fresno State Bulldogs in men's basketball in the 2017-18 season.
This year as well, we had several big marquee road games playing at Oregon State. Marquette was a big one. Any big road tests coming up this year that the school has announced yet?
Well, I mean, the Cancun Challenge is one, are some games as well. Still haven't announced and still working on, we call it a guarantee game, but it's one of those games like a Marquette. When Marquette paid, we call it a guarantee game because Marquette paid Fresno State $100,000 to go play that game, and we only lost by three. We had a shot to win the game as well. But looking at some other California teams that we'll be playing on the road, but trying to get as many home games as we can, especially in non-conference play. So we love playing at the Save Mart Center, and any opportunity that we can do that, that's always our first priority. But yes, we'll have to go play on the road a couple of times, and when we have that marquee Power 5 non-conference game, we'll be sure to share that out.
As far as postseason experience goes for the younger guys, we know those younger guys coming back next year, especially the first-year Bulldogs like Bryson Williams, Deshaun Taylor, and Jerron Hopkins. This postseason experience was a huge building block headed to next year. You want guys to know what that feels like to be in those one-and-done situations. But for Bryson, particularly with his early foul trouble at TCU, he probably didn't get quite the number of minutes Coach Terry would have liked. Do you get a feel that that experience was still valuable for him, or was Coach Terry, you know, not the ideal situation to have him on the floor so little against the Horned Frogs?
I mean, I think that any time that you get a chance to play in postseason, it's a great experience. I mean, you look at what Paul Watson and Caracciato were able to get as part of playing in the CBI. Yeah, they did get to play in six CBI games, including that championship series that went all the way to the third game. So anytime you get to play more basketball and to be able to practice and really continue to build your development, all those things are huge. But to play in the NIT, I think that's just a completely different stage, and that elite elite element of where Fresno State expects to be as a program, that Fresno State expects to be in the NCAA or the NIT every single year. And it's something that it's just a mindset where you're going to go out and do what you need to do in non-conference play as well as in conference play and try to get to that semifinal championship game in the Mountain West and compete for a championship. So anytime that you have the opportunity to play in postseason, I think it's a great opportunity. And whether it's one game or six games, being able to just match up against the athletes like what you have in the Big 12 and being able to go toe-to-toe, and I mean, I thought that we had as good of talent, if not better talent, than TCU. And I think that Fresno State, and as you mentioned earlier, that's a team that beat Kansas in the Big 12 tournament when Kansas was the number one team in the country. So it's something where Fresno State is built to compete for a championship, to compete in the postseason and advance in the postseason. And that's just that next step. And we're looking forward to doing so in the 2017-18 season.
Let's talk about Bryson Williams a little bit more. I know McEwen on Utah State was named the Mountain West Freshman of the Year. He's a great player in his own right, very promising player, put up some big numbers. But to me, and we've talked about this off air, Bryson Williams' ceiling is just so high. He really has a chance, I think, when all is said and done, to end up as one of those legendary Bulldogs, a local kid from Roosevelt High School. With the skill he flashed as a freshman, his offensive instincts, his awareness, his ability to just finish around the basket, and what he can do rebounding the basketball, it seems like he's got a really high ceiling. What in his game does the coaching staff want to see him work on heading to next year?
He led the team in field goal percentage, and he'd rank in the top five, top ten in program history if he had met the minimum for total number of field goals. But he's a very efficient player, talented player in the post. What I also liked about his development over the course of the season is that he became a better free throw shooter. And you see that growth from the start of the season to the end of the season, and free throw shooting is so focus-driven, mechanic-driven, and I think more than anything, it's what your commitment level to being a good free throw shooter is. Like what we saw with the growth and the lights-out nature of what Deshaun Taylor brought when he got fouled and got to the line. But when you look at Bryson Williams, and it's really just continuing to work in the weight room, continuing to develop those, he's got all those instincts, but what can he do, and how can he not necessarily have to back, because of his size, he's a 6'8", 6'9", player that, I mean, he can back some of the guys down, but when you're going up against guys that are as big as you or a little bit taller than you, when you're trying to back them down, you really got to go to that hook shot, and that's not as efficient of a shot as scoring a layup right at the rim or a dunk. But can he get to a point where he can catch that ball in the high post and drive down the lane and really have that speed advantage and have some momentum advantage when going up against some of these post players inside? And what can he develop from a 10 to 15 foot range or even longer? So, I mean, I think that there's still a lot of growth that he can have, but he had a wonderful freshman season, and I'm really looking forward to seeing him play during his Fresno State career.
Has this coaching staff identified their priorities in recruiting for this year? What types of positions they feel like they need to fill, or what type of roles? You know, you're losing Watson, Edo, and Russo, and do you replace guys with similar type bodies, or what are they looking for out on the recruiting trail right now, do you think?
I think the biggest thing is best available. I mean, there's always some needs, and it's trying to find the guys that fit into the culture of the program. And it's guys that are committed to being incredibly disciplined players, that are dynamic, exciting guys that want to do things right on and off the court. So, I mean, those are some of the main things. And, yes, we've got some opportunities and some scholarships open that the coaching staff will identify some great additions to join the Bulldog family. And I'm looking forward to seeing who makes those commitments.
And the big news, obviously, for one of the Bulldogs seniors, Paul Watson, a guy who's been in the program for this year, as you announced on Friday, is that he'll represent the Bulldogs one more time on the national stage on ESPN, competing in that college basketball slam dunk contest at the Final Four on March 30th. Talk about that and how excited Paul is to be a part of it.
It's a great opportunity. I liken it to when Aaron Judge had the chance to go compete in the Home Run Derby out in Omaha at the college baseball Home Run Derby. But for Paul Watson to be able to go back to his hometown to wear that Bulldog uniform one more time and to do so at the Final Four. Cesar Guerrero had the chance to play in the International All-Star Game last year. And it's a great opportunity for Paul personally. personally, exposure-wise, as well as to be able to play in front of his friends and family. But it's also exposure-wise for Fresno State as a university, for what it means to be on ESPN and to be part of something as prestigious as the Final Four and an event that's aired live on ESPN. So we're really proud of Paul. We're excited for him, and just looking forward to seeing what kind of dunks he can throw down out of Grand Canyon.
And I think it's important, too, for the fans to really think about Paul Watson, think about Caracciolo, guys that were here for four straight years, went to three postseasons during that time, as well as Colin Russo here the past 2 years going to the NCAA tournament and NIT. What have those three seniors meant to establishing a winning culture at Fresno State?
I think their work ethic every single day is central to the building blocks of where this program can go. I mean, we've talked about it many times of how excited we are for that future, and that it's an exciting time to be part of Bulldog basketball. It's really a wonderful opportunity to showcase our student athletes, our staff, and the academic and other programs all across campus. So those three guys are guys that were committed to winning and wanting to establish that culture and really expecting to win, and changing it from a mindset of wanting to win to expecting to win and expecting to be in the postseason and expecting to advance in the postseason. So all three of those guys were conference champions and played in the NCAA tournament, played in the NIT this year. We're very proud that they represented Fresno State and looking forward to seeing what is in store for their future.
And they'll pass the torch next year to Jerron Hopkins and Deshaun Taylor, who we've already mentioned were part of the All-Mountain West selections this year. Very possible candidates for that first team All-Mountain West preseason honors this year, so we'll wait and see how that goes. But those two guys return. You've got a top 10 national three-point shooter and Jamel Taylor returning. Talk about the three of them. They're all guards. Jerron's obviously, you know, a bigger bodied guard, but how do they all fit together in the Bulldogs' plans, meshing together in that backcourt?
I think we saw it a lot, especially during conference play, and as Deshaun emerged and got the opportunity and just ran with it when he was inserted into the starting lineup halfway through January. But, I mean, Deshaun's a player that is very confident, is not afraid of going up against, just plays fearlessly, and he expects to score and expects to find teammates when they're open, and all three of them want to win. Jamel Taylor, just such a fun player to watch shoot three throws.
Free throws and three-pointers.
Yeah. Jamel Taylor is such a fun player to watch shoot three-pointers. I watch a lot of practice. I've seen it a lot over the last decade and plus, and he's one of the most, even when he's on, as we call it, he's on the gun where the automatic passing back to Jamel Taylor when he's putting up three-pointers. But he's got such a fun stroke. He can shoot it from anywhere, and you really almost, you expect it to go in from almost anywhere that he's shooting it out on the floor. So he's been a fun player to watch, and he takes pride in his, I think all three of them take pride in their defense too, especially Jerron Hopkins, of what how he can disrupt lanes and how he can use steals to create some opportunities offensively for himself and his teammates. So Jerron Hopkins is a bigger guard that's 6'6", that can play the point, that can play the two and three, can attack the basket, drive downhill, just like Deshaun Taylor can. And Deshaun's a little bit smaller, but he just toughness-wise will look to, and Deshaun's done a lot of great things this year, and I'm sure he'll even look to try to finish even stronger next year in turning some of those chances when he had two free throws when he didn't make a basket and got fouled, but can I finish through that? Can I get an and one? Can I make that basket and I'm just headed to the free throw line to shoot one and continue to score at that clip? So there's still a lot of great opportunities for our team, and I'm looking forward to all three of those seniors, and with Jerron and Jamel going into their last year and Deshaun having two more years, as even though he's still he'd be a senior and academically being athletically just a junior. So having the chance to have a guy like Deshaun for 3 years total is great, and to have him on scholarship next year will be great as well.
And another key big man returning who we haven't even talked about yet, probably as big a fan favorite as there is at the Save Mart Center, literally and figuratively, is Terrell Carter, the big man inside. it'll be his senior season. We've seen him the past 2 years be effective in matchups with other true centers. We've seen him finish in the post in ways that wow us sometimes, but he can be a real matchup nightmare for certain opponents. What will the staff want him to focus on going into that senior season for him?
I think one of the biggest things for Terrell is to continue just taking pride in his work in the weight room and finding ways to continue to get his body in that shape to be a potential NBA player, to be a potential guy that can go play overseas and have those great opportunities, and finding ways to stay on the floor, taking pride in rebounding and being a great teammate. And I think that he's done all of those things, and he just continue to grow as a senior.
We talked about Bryson Williams. There's a new Williams coming into the mix next year. His name's New Williams, a transfer from Auburn. Is he one of those situations where he'll be eligible for the second semester, or how does that work out with him?
Yeah, new is a transfer from Auburn. He'll have to sit out the fall semester the same way that Jamel Taylor, when he transferred from Washington halfway through the year when he was a sophomore. So new will be able to join us after the end of the fall semester and when grades get certified.
And talk about not just New Williams, but I know Lazaro Rojas set out this year. The coaching staff expects big things from them. Talk about some of those newcomers who fans may not know yet, may not be familiar with yet, and what we might expect from them next season.
Lazaro Rojas he's got a great ceiling as well. He's a 6'11", right at that 235, 240. And, I know he's a guy that's always committed to working out when we're on the road, giving our guys a great look as a scout team guy. He can play the 4 and the 5. He can stretch out and shoot the 3, as well as shooting some baseline, and it has that range where he can spot up and hit a jump shot. But inside defensively, having that toughness, and I think it was a really good year for him to redshirt this year. He could have even helped us during conference play. But for his growth and his development as a player, being able to not lose a year this year and playing limited minutes, but really continuing to grow, and next year going all in and having a chance to be a significant part of the rotation.
Steven, we're just about out of time for today, but in closing, just tell us a little bit about what you think this team's potential is for next year. What maybe the goals that the coaching staff has set looking ahead?
I think the goals remain the same. It's to give it 100% effort in everything that you're doing as part of that off season and building towards the 2017-18 season. And I think we talked about it earlier, but it's expecting to compete for a championship conference-wise, and expecting to make it to the postseason, and expecting to advance. That just making it isn't enough, but we're definitely proud of the fact that we are one of those top 75, 80 teams in the country and representing Fresno State as well as we can. So it's having everybody fully committed and listening to all that coaching that they can get over the course of the time between now and the start of the 2017-18 season, and then just running with it and just attacking as hard as we can to put ourselves in a position to where we can be talked about as an at-large team or an auto bid to the NCAA tournament, or at least getting to the NIT based off of what we've been able to do during the regular season.
Steven Tremblay, Director of New Media for Fresno State Athletics, thanks for your time being with us on air today. Enjoy the rest of your March Madness, and we can't wait to see Bulldog basketball next year.
Thanks, Eddie.
Thanks also to our assistant producer, Kaylee Conlin. And most of all, thank you for listening, and please join us again next Saturday at 8:30 a.m. for another Fresno State Sports Report on 90.7 KFSR. You can follow us on Twitter at 907 KFSR Sports or stream us worldwide at www.kfsr.org.
KFSR presents the Fresno State Sports Report every Saturday morning at 8:30. For complete program schedule, visit kfsr.org.